New Jersey has gained the reputation of being a state with among the most strict gun laws in the country. This position has brought about, well, let's say, various responses. There are those who look around and can't recall last time a mass shooting happened in the state, while others say that more needs to be done. So last December, Governor Murphy signed a series of new gun policies into law. My first guest is part of one of the organizations that pushed back against this new set of laws regarding right to carry in New Jersey. Federal judge this past week issued a ruling that agreed with a great deal of their concerns. Here to explore the details of all this from the Second Amendment Foundation is Dave Workman. How are you today, Dave?
Well, I'm okay. It's an interesting day, and we've had this court ruling that came down just a couple of days ago. I think New Jersey, as you said, is a state with very strict gun control laws, and I'm not too sure if the new one is going to really pass the smell test. Obviously, the Judge Bum, Renee Marie Bum, doesn't think that it is, so she's granted, at least in part, a preliminary injunction against some of the tenets of this law. As you know, New Jersey scrambled, really, to change the law after last year's Supreme Court ruling against the state of New York's carry law, which had a lot of similarities between the two state laws. So they got busy in Trenton and changed some things. But now the gun owners in the state, Second Amendment Foundation, I know the National Rifle Association, their affiliate there has another lawsuit going. I think this is really important for people to put into perspective. This isn't about guns. It's about rights. And the judge, I think, came down on the right side of the rights issue.
And you have to look to it. Who we're talking about here? We're talking about someone who goes through what is, again, in tandem with New Jersey's ways and means about anything to do with personal possession of guns. The application for a right to carry is a detailed one, to say the least, compared with other states. It's not like an angry 21-year-old rushing into a gun store buying an AR-15. We're talking about a handgun under someone who is going to be more background checked, maybe as much as an applicant for a police department is going to be.
Well, yeah, and let me add a little bit of perspective to this. I'm talking to you from Washington State, which is way out on the West Coast. We're west of the Mississippi, west of the Rockies, and we do things differently here. I've had a license to carry in Washington State for more than 50 years, and there are just about 700,000 active concealed pistol licenses right now in Washington State. We've got one of the highest percentages per capita of licensed citizens out here. I think about one in every nine or one in every 10 eligible adults in Washington State is licensed to carry. So we got a lot of hardware out here. And when I look at a state, particularly New Jersey, where you have to jump through so many hoops in order to exercise a constitutionally protected right, I can understand why people west of the Mississippi sit back and scratch their heads wondering, you know, what's going on there anyway? And now maybe the judges provided us an opportunity to dig into that a little bit.
I looked at the New Jersey right to carry application. One of the steps is you have to communicate in as much detail as possible. Their term is a justifiable need for the right to carry permit. Is that a positive element? Does it just add more strength and move the process forward if you show, okay, there's a real reason? I was a victim of an attempted kidnapping, so it would be kind of nice to have a little defense next time someone might want to try that to me again.
Well, I think justifiable need was one of the points that was stricken from the law. But, you know, we'll back up just one step. Why should anybody anywhere in the United States have to justify their interest in exercising a constitutionally enumerated right? that in itself defies logic. I mean, rights are very special. And when a state, New Jersey, New York, you know, pick one, Maryland, where you have to say, yeah, I need to justify my right to carry a gun, you're turning the right into a regulated privilege. And that's not what rights are all about.
So Dave Workman from the Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org, their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. We're taking a look at the recent activity regarding right to carry in New Jersey. Just a little backtracking for you listening, in case you came in the middle of the movie. The initial set of laws that came about back in December of last year basically restricted anyone with a right to carry permit to right to carry in places like entertainment venues, youth sporting events, bars, restaurants, airports, schools, daycare centers, polling places, and courthouses. Most of those were upheld as being able to go in with a gun and a right to carry permit. Also knows, too, Dave, that the judge did hold in place the ruling that allowed a private owner of a business or a home to say, nope, I don't want guns in my home. I've got they have the right to object, which I get, you know, that's, again, part of the democracy, the republic that we live in.
Well, sure, you know, and I don't necessarily disagree with that part of it, and that may sound like blasphemy, but you're right. A property owner, a business owner, for example, can say, hey, look, I don't want firearms in here. It's not that I disagree with the Second Amendment. I just don't want firearms in my place of business or in my home. And, you know, that's a right as well. You look at some of the signs when you go into a restaurant, for example, we reserve the right to refuse business to people. And, you know, I kind of get that. But I think more importantly, we are getting into a realm of where in New Jersey and some of these other states that had these sort of laws that they're scrambling to change, they have to reexamine just what is at the root of all this gun control stuff. I carry a firearm a lot. I'm licensed to carry, as I mentioned, and out where I live, we got a black bear in the neighborhood. I know New Jersey has quite a few black bears too.
Oh yeah,
and you know it's a real problem back there where I live. If you run into a black bear and it is got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, you have a right to defend yourself against an animal attack. That's why a lot of people I know have loaded sidearms where they can reach them real fast, especially in the rural parts of our state. So, you know, you keep that also in perspective. And when you've got a right that needs protecting, you got to go to court if the state legislature, and in this case the New Jersey state legislature, I think overreacted, and they tried to make a law that was even stricter than the one that they tried to replace. And now here we are in federal court trying to sort out where this is going to wind up. And it could wind up before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Which brings us to then, what's the, you know, let's do a then and now real fast just to wrap up here. We had the Bruin decision regarding the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association. Mm-hmm. How does that compare or contrast, speaking of the Supreme Court, with a Heller decision?
Well, this is kind of a step-by-step process. We started with Heller, which protected the right of an individual citizen in Washington, D.C., or anywhere else, really, to keep a firearm loaded in the house for personal protection. Then we jumped out to McDonald v. City of Chicago 2 years later. That was a Second Amendment Foundation case. The National Rifle Association had an associated a similar case going through the courts at the same time. What McDonald did was really important because in addition to striking on the Chicago handgun ban, which had been in place, I think, for about 30 years, they did something that I thought was just monumental. They incorporated the Second Amendment to the states via the 14th Amendment, just like they've done with the First, I think the Fourth, because, you know, the Bill of Rights applies to the federal government. Now the Second Amendment also applies to each individual state. About 44 states have their own statutory constitutional provision, right to keep and bear arms. A few states don't. California is one of them, for example. And now California has to abide by the Second Amendment. Now along comes Bruin 12 years later. And what Bruin did was it struck down a mandate, well, not a mandate, but a habit that was created after the Heller and McDonnell rulings by the lower courts. Not only did they rely on historical evidence about what the Second Amendment was supposed to protect, but they also did this means-end scrutiny kind of thing, which was really a fabrication, I think, by the lower courts in order to always decide in favor of existing gun laws. Well, Justice Clarence Thomas, when he authored the Bruin ruling, said, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. You have to rely on the Constitution as a legal document that began back when we didn't have all of these gun laws. We had rights, and those rights are protected. So now you're going to find, I think, a wave of legal challenges to some of these other existing gun control laws, because I don't think they'll pass the smell test once they get into the court system. And the next big deal, I think, is going to determine whether or not semi-automatic rifles, the so-called assault weapons, are protected by the Second Amendment. I happen to think they are, and so do a lot of other people. But, you know, we haven't had a court come down and say, yeah, you know, the AR-15, the semi-automatic rifle, I'm sorry, guys, these things are protected by the Second Amendment, and you can't ban them. And we're going to see a couple of cases, I think, heading to the Supreme Court that deal just with that. One of them's out of Maryland, which is a Second Amendment Foundation case, along with the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And there's a case coming up in California. Same deal. I think we're going to see that as the next challenge. And I know a lot of people say that that's the fourth leg on the stool to determine just how far the Second Amendment goes. And I think the Second Amendment's going to go quite a long ways here.
And as all that develops, you can follow the information as well as the education provided by the Second Amendment Foundation at their website, saf.org. Dave Workman, thanks so much for helping us understand the mechanics, reality of what can be a convoluted situation due to the efforts by opponents more often than not. Thanks for being here today.
You betcha. Thanks very much for having me.